Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And he's talked about a dream. First, he talked about a burden. You know, if you want to know what God wants, just pray for his heart to be revealed to you. We've been praying that now for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And just like him, we found out that when he starts revealing it to you, you just start falling apart. You're just like, I can't take this. And he said there was a point where, you know, he was just thought he was going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And that he pulled off the side of the road. And this is some other aspect of what's going on. That's where this all comes from. He wasn't sharing this part at Church of His Presence, but that this is where it comes from. What I'm about to share with you, it comes from somebody who said, God, I want to know your heart. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, God, I want a national ministry. God, right. I want this. I want that. I want this. He said, I want to know your heart. And then he began to pray, God, you're going to have to give me a grace for this. And I remember when the Lord was speaking to me about a lot of things. People say, you know, God gave me a dream last year. I'm like, oh, he did? Last year he gave me a dream. Wow. He's like, okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm just trying to digest the last seven he gave me last night.
Right.
And anyway, so God's revealing these things to me, you know, again and again and again. Brother Ken Summerall, a spiritual father to me who's now with the Lord, you know, he acknowledged that fact. He would come to me and ask me, you know, what does this mean? But you just get to a point, it's like, God, you'd wake up angry. You'd wake up responding to what God revealed to you. And then finally, because, you know, he's showing what's actually happening, what people are doing, their strategies, and how they're not responding and different things. And I just got angrier and angrier. Mm-hmm. And then finally the Lord told me, you know, well, if that's how you're going to react by me speaking to you, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Then I had to understand, like Samuel had to understand, that it had nothing to do with Samuel when Israel was saying, we want a king. It was having to do between God's people and God. Mm-hmm. And so God was letting Samuel in on what was happening between him and his people. And so our heart would be broken for God. And the point to talk to folks and teach them, to help them not go that particular direction. And I'm like, God, I want to hear it. Whatever it is, I want to hear it. So we begin to pray for a grace for God to reveal to us his heart. And I really feel that, you know, he has revealed, you know, part of his heart to us about what, you know, what we're doing, what he's called us to do. And it's amazing, you know, what he's doing. So when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what Dutch Sheets talked about and how God gave him this dream about being a boxer and what was written on both those gloves and how it has to do with the flag that first flew over the 13 colonies with George Washington. Well, we're talking about Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets just spoke at Church of His Presence there in Mobile, Alabama. Mobile, Alabama. Mm. Mobile, Alabama. And okay. We're excited about Church of His Presence. They're going to be moving into their new building. It is projected to be in Thanksgiving. And Harry Stone is going to be there, part of it.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's very exciting. You record Perry and you go back and listen to him
a
couple times slower.
Yeah.
Just slow it down. It's like, anyway, so the man knows so much. He says so much in that particular time. It's kind of like how I like to hear it, really. So Dutch is actually has this dream, Dutch Sheets, and he's kind of sharing a little bit of it. We're gonna give you a direct link on how to get this information where you can hear Dutch explain it himself. But I just want to encourage you to go get it. But in this dream, he's talking about that God gave him a dream, and he had boxing gloves on. As you can see, the boxing gloves probably here on your TV, and on one particular glove, it had the word Everlast, and he knew this. I wouldn't have known it, but actually, you can see on your screen there actually is a glove called Everlast, and on the other glove, there was another word, Evergreen, and he knew immediately what Everlast was. As a matter of fact, he started talking about when Abraham made the covenant with God. He began to talk about the first time that was even mentioned in the Bible, which is first mentions are always very important. That God is outside of our time. He is before us and he is after us. He's before time and after time. Time exists in an element of his wider existence. It's just he just does not dwell, you know, in this concept, this linear way of thinking. And so when you hear that, that's what that the first thing that meant when he made covenant with God. And so he knew what that meant, but he didn't understand what evergreen meant. And so he kind of shelved it, and he talked some more about it. You know, he kind of tried to force the issue and try to find out what it was about. But maybe about 5 years later, and I'm kind of trying to remember the time frame, he gets to particular point where he's finding out, as a man begins to say, I had this dream, and this dream was like a three-hour dream. So he says, I'm not going to use the whole 3 hours, you know, to be able to share, begin to abbreviate the dream. And he talks about, you know, and it makes me think about, you know, what Morningstar Ministries did about honoring the fathers that have gone before us and all. And so that's basically what Dutch has done because of this, is to honor what God is doing, the whole synergy of what he's doing everywhere. And we've always sought to honor. And, but in this, there's this old camp meeting place, and this is how it used to happen, where you go in the wilderness, they poured a slab out, put a basically a roof over it with some pretty basic plywood-type walls with some windows that you would open and prop out with a stick or whatever. And what he saw was, he looked out one particular window, this is the guy talking to him, and one window was these ships coming from afar off. And these ships were coming, and from a distance, he kind of glanced at them and thought, man, this looks like the ships from Pilgrims had, you know, and it got closer and closer, and all of a sudden it was. And these Pilgrims came in. When they came into this place, you know, and I'm paraphrasing to the best I can, you can get the actual thing from Church of His Presence, but plus the sheets will have it available for you. And everybody just started applauding, given a huge welcoming to that particular season of those who carried the torch, who were part of being where we are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they got applauded, then looked out another window or something to that effect, and all of a sudden the next season of time came in. And I believe this one was, you know, those who established the West and planted and forged their way all the way over to the Pacific Ocean and all that. And they started coming in, and you could see them coming from a distance out one of those windows. And then they came in, and everybody's just giving this huge, just applauding that. So it was like the next season of folks. And I may be missing a season, but this, you see, and how everything connected, because what the narrative the enemy's trying to put out right now over America was that there's nothing connected. There's no reason for America. Mm. It's all was founded on false principles, that our founding fathers were deist, or they were agnostic, and all these things, you know, just trying to write out anything they could do to discredit them or dishonor them and dishonor those that have come before us. And so all of a sudden, which is not true, obviously, they're trying to undo what is true so they can do what is wrong. And so then, so they came in, this huge round of applause came in. And then the next thing that happened, the next season of people that was in America came, they had cars and all these different things, and it was us.
Right.
And when they were coming in, our generation coming in, and everybody's just applauding that generation, that I guess that kept the torch through all these different things. How everything's connected, everything's meaningful, everything's purposeful. There was no gap in the context of this. And then finally, it's the next generation, and that we've got to think about how to connect to this next generation, to make a covenant with this next generation. And so what he discovered, I believe, in the context of this, that George Washington, when you see, we have a picture of him actually on our partner page. He's kneeling down praying by his horse. That's a true story. That's why that's there, because, you know, for God and country in that order, and Israel is what we're all about. And that when he began to realize that he and others cannot continue this oppression from this government, we're going to have to fight for our freedom. That it was It was a ragtag army. There was no way that it was going to be able to happen. There was no way it's going to be able. It just couldn't. This huge army that's colonizing the world, and this rebellion. And understand, maybe it was only like 20%. Remember, the majority is always irrelevant, and they were irrelevant. They didn't join in. They just benefited off the ones who did. And so they stood up and they said, you know, we've got to fight for our freedom. And so he went and made a covenant, and you can find out more details about this on the Torch. But he went and made a George Washington went and made a covenant with one of the First Nation tribes that was here, and it wasn't like people said it was, because they made a covenant to stand together, and they did that. They actually did it in front of an evergreen. And they buried some weapons at the foot of the evergreen. And that's where you hear, you know, bury the hatchet. So we get the thing, bury the hatchet of this. Because they were saying, listen, we got to come together. The First Nation folks had to come together with the Second Nation folks. George Washington and the people in America, they all had to come together. Because we have an enemy out here in Great Britain, England, that wants to come and, you know, destroy us. And we got to come together. Some synergy had to happen. And so they made a covenant at the base of the evergreen, and they buried at the foot of the evergreen some weapons. Mm-hmm. They would stand together. So when you see that, what they did was, at that point, they made a plea to heaven. Mm. They made a plea to heaven, an appeal to heaven, saying, you know, there's no way we can do this thing, but this is unjust. This is something that we need to have. When you talk about America's original intent, this is down to the evergreen tree. Wow. To when, you know, Americans were coming together, including the First Nation folks, for all the people who are trying to divide the First Nation folks and fight for this country. It wasn't until Andrew Jackson came along until all that stuff started happening, and he started pushing folks, you know, west of the Mississippi. Everybody was working together up until that particular point, living together and that type of thing. And reports of history is. And so the first flag that flew, I want you to look at this, the first flag that flew over the 13 colonies across Massachusetts and a couple others as well, was a flag that said, an appeal to heaven, and it's over an evergreen tree. Hmm. It's over an evergreen tree. And that tree represents covenant that, and he's talking about, this is what Dutch Sheets was talking about, it's really encouraging. Because we got to get back to the original intent of our nation. Because God has a purpose for America. The light, a city on a hill, all the things that she's done, she's got to come back to this place. And things they're accusing America of, there is no nation on the face of this earth that ever existed that hasn't done those things. The thing about it is, everybody's not that. Everybody's not that. And I was just listening to, you know, Help Me Find My People, the author of this particular book, talking about how horrific, and it is, slavery was in America, but the majority of people in the South did not own slaves.
Right.
The majority of people didn't own slaves. And so just to say that you're in America and you live in the South, all of a sudden somehow you were a slave owner, that's not true. The majority of people in America didn't. And Northerners and Southerners did that practice. But also Abraham, all the way across the history of mankind, the question was that, you know, Were you honorable in what you were doing? Did you treat people kind and fair and pay them and all these different things, and the evilness of the context of that? But that is, it needs to be dealt with. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be, but understand, it doesn't mean America goes away. It means we repent. It was wrong. And understand that in the original intent of our nation, that everybody was working together in that. And when you look at the Constitution, when they were writing it, there was this faction inside of America that was fighting for it, but there was a faction of America that was fighting against it. And since it was a democracy in the context of that, in a republic, you just couldn't say, you know, like a dictator, this is how it's going to be. So they foresaw in the future that would be totally out, because all men are created equal, and Dr. King is the one that brought it. Martin Luther King Jr. brought it to the reality, and what he referred to was the original intent of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened a long time later. But because those papers were there, he was able to say, I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. Mm. I'm only holding what's written on the paper. And this is the original pill on a pill made to heaven. But we're talking about Dutch Sheets and what he just shared to Church of His Presence, what he's been sharing around the nation. He is an apostle to the nation. He's a patriot in regards to America. And as you just heard, that God is revealing to him that God has good plans in store for this nation. We truly believe it, too. We believe in God for a third great awakening. We've been preparing for it, for the harvest, painstakingly.
Yes.
It's hard to prepare for a harvest with folks that aren't even in a harvest or don't even believe one's coming. It's like, it makes no sense. I don't see any corn. Just help me build the barn.
Work with me.
You know, and then the harvest comes. You didn't prepare to go. We need a barn. It's like,
oh,
this is like, help me, Lord. It's like, you know, what do you know? Why are you building an ark? Why are you building? There's a flood coming. There's no
got
flood
a rain.
Coming. And then the flood comes. Like, we need a boat. We need a boat. It's like, come on. And so in this particular dream, I believe it was that. Dutch Sheets had, he had two gloves up, and one glove said Everlast, which we talked about that. That's when God's mentioned in a way with Abraham that he makes this covenant. But the other glove was Evergreen, and it took a while for him over 5 years, I believe it was. And this dream came in, and somebody's sharing this dream with him. I believe the guy's name is Thomas. But as he's sharing it with him, it began to reveal the fact that this was the first flag flown over. As a matter of fact, before... this guy is telling him the dream before he even told him, was there an evergreen tree on that flag? He's like, how did you know? You know, and this convergence that takes place, you know, as they're talking. So what happened was that this one tribe with First Nation folks made a covenant with George Washington. It was an impossible thing. They had to make an appeal to heaven. And what's what we can do? And it's not like, okay, we're not going to make it. Let's just try this. It is the way that you do it. We make an appeal to heaven when it's right, despite if you're outnumbered, even if you're like Gideon, you can make an appeal to heaven. That's what Gideon did. Gideon's like, you know, where is this gospel, this God that they talk about in the history? Where is that? He made this appeal, you know, and then God began to use Gideon to be able to unfold that. He made this plea to heaven, and there you go. I mean, all of a sudden, the nation was free. And just like that, this ragtag army that says that they can be tracked, that George Washington's army, which he lost more battles than won, could be tracked in the snow by the blood they left behind by their barefoot, bleeding feet in the snow.
Wow.
And it's like, man, I mean, what it took to be able to believe God and to move in that appeal. And this appeal from heaven, quite often, appeal to heaven. You know, people think, well, it just means you just continue your life in luxury, and it doesn't require anything from you. I don't have shoes. I can't fight. I can't stand up for God. I can't do this. You know, and there's sacrifice, you know, involved in whatever that is. And so here they are. But when you study, and this is what Dutch is talking about, when you study when God made a covenant with Abraham and Abraham with God, that he planted a tree, but the tree that he planted had a different name for it. When you look at the root of that tree is an evergreen tree. So an evergreen tree means there's a covenant. You're making a covenant. It's a covenant type tree. And so not only that, when you make a covenant, when you can see this flag right here. I think you can see him waving this flag. And so this is that original flag that was flown over our 13 colonies. It was definitely spread across Massachusetts. He said another state. That he started waving it, and the Holy Spirit just told him to wave it in a figure eight. And eight is the number of covenant. Remember, I was circumcised on the eighth day, the cutting away, the covenant with God. And in that when Abraham was making a covenant, you remember, I always thought you just walked straight. But really, he walked in a figure eight because he's making, you know, a covenant with God. And so then you start thinking about it, that evergreen trees grow so slow. They grow so slow, he's talking about this, that you never plant it for yourself.
Huh.
You never plant it for yourself. You plant it for the next generation because you're not going to experience the fullness of what's going to happen. It's going to be the next generation will live off the shade of your covenant with God.
Wow.
And so you're saying, no, who's willing to plant a tree that only the next generation will benefit from? And when you saw as that man's dream with a three-hour explanation of because the pilgrims were willing to make a covenant with God, the next generation came and lived in the shade of that covenant. And because of that generation, you know, was willing to make a covenant with God, the next generation that they applauded that came in, you know, able to live in the shade of that covenant. And so we have to be willing to do what's required. This is what I'm getting from what he was sharing, and which makes sense. That's what I mean. If you just knew what we've been doing, I mean, we've been building foundation and everything, you know, just digging trenches that God's going to pour rain in. And so for the next generation, how to bring the gospel to this generation so that they would have. And so we've been, you know, walking that others have been walking out as well too. And I thought, man, that is so exciting. So I encourage you. You can get this flag in three different sizes. And I want, you know, Dutch has resigned his position at Church for the Nations so that he could. Christ for the Nations, so that he could come and tell us this. So he can go from place to place and begin to let us know that this is what God is saying. Mm. This is so important. We appreciate him to do that. And he talked about a window of time as we began to share it earlier. On our program where he's talking about, I believe, a two-year window of time. And so this is not something, hey, I might think about it. No, we need to act now.
Yeah.
And we'll have access to how to get all this on the VFN Torch, and hopefully we'll have, you know, Dutch on with us soon to be able to talk about in more details. But there's hope. I mean, there's hope. The third great awakening happens in the context normally of great adversity. If you look what happened with Charles Seymour in Azusa Street, you look at a man that was going through great persecution, great rejection, but he did not allow the darkness of mankind to stop him from seeking the lightness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because we're good that we're asking for it. It's like, you know, we're so good in America, God, that you would just give us a great awakening. It's the opposite. It's because God is good. It's because we need a great awakening to be able to awaken our hearts to sin and awaken our hearts to our lives and our decisions and where we are. So the third great awakening begins to change us. When Azusa Street happened, you know, great racism, oppression, just religious race repression upon Charles Seymour, he pushed through, he sought the Lord, and because he did, he birthed probably the first integrated church, you know, in America, gender and race, in a former, you know, stable at some point it served. And Azusa Street's the name of the street. And God touched the world in 1906, which I think is pretty interesting because I really, I mean, I did hear Dutch talk about that this weekend. And, of course, that dream kind of shows you. You cannot cut off past generations and ignore what God did and think you're going to experience something because you totally dishonored God when you said it wasn't important what happened at Brownsville, the Brownsville outpouring. Right. Why do you keep bringing that up? Because it's God.
Right.
You know, this isn't important what happened in 1906 and during that 3 years of Azusa Street Revival. It is important. It was God. And think about this. Let me tell you how important it is. God connected during the Azusa Street of 1906, in 1906, when God began to pour himself out, the earthquake, I believe, happened maybe the next year, but that lasted for 3 years. And during that 3 years, you know what happened? Brownsville in Pensacola, Florida was founded during that time.
Wow.
And God knew that in Father's Day of 1995, think about it, in 1995, he was going to pour himself out in this other city that was founded during the time of Azusa Street Revival. And it was founded, Brownsville, that community Brownsville that he poured himself out in there at the Father's Day 1995 Brownsville outpouring, that it was founded because water was brought to that particular area there. And so God does remember. Everything does connect. And that's one thing that Dutch was really talking about was, it all connects, and we need to honor that. And it's the synergy of all that God's doing. And it's about all of us. It's about everything he has done, he is doing, and agreeing with, and I know we got to go to break, but agreeing with those who, not with the dead, but agreeing with what they profess. For example, God told Joseph that you will be brought out of here when they were in captivity. But understand, he was brought out, his generations were brought out, and they brought his bones out. But understand this, that your offspring's success is your success. When God gives you a word and he says he's going to do something, there's two things that fight against you. You can fight against yourself where you're trying to make it happen in your time frame, and you die doing that. Or other people try to force you to make it happen in their expected time frame, versus the fact is God's not a liar. This is what he said he's going to do, and it may be for our season to carry the torch, so in the next generation, they're going to be able to take that torch, and it's all going to come to pass in the context of it. It was 400 years later when Joseph came up out of Egypt, and that's what happens. And understand, this is one continual story, and so we need to agree with what God said to Abraham, what God said through all those that have gone before us. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.